kind of a statement of what skills and concepts are going to be covered. And not too much. This is a quick one. Just the idea of survey design. And the second one, the idea that you have to be patient in doing your planning. And that's something that doesn't count for surveys only. It counts for everything. Don't rush. Don't be speedy. Be in the moment. Be mindful. Some of the concepts in this little presentation, types of survey questions, that's sort of the palette you have to work with. You know, what kinds of questions can I include in my survey? The user interface widgets that are used typically in them. And then this idea of a Likert scale question, which you've seen. We'll go over quickly. Where does this fit in the class? Well, here we're down in this kind of skills area now. How do you develop an application? What sort of an application? A survey application. All right, two kinds of questions. Open-ended questions and questions with fixed choices. So here are the kinds of open-ended questions, examples of what you can ask on your survey. So when you make up a survey, this is one type of question sort of in your palette, in your toolkit, that you might want to include. Not one type, one category. One, a single line of text. A question is just like, what is your name? And the person can type in anything they want. It's open-ended, so they can type in John Smith or Bob Jones or whatever. By the way, remember when we looked at the class roster? Somebody had put in their name as first comma last. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. Or last comma first? Mm-hmm. It was a guy in the evening class. And this is interesting in what we're just saying. The reason he did that, it wasn't because he misunderstood. It was because he was worried about privacy and didn't want to give his name. So there's an example of a guy that really cares about privacy. Mm-hmm. Everybody else put their name, right?
Yeah.
But there's somebody that didn't want to, and I respect that. So he came up and told me afterwards, hey, my name really isn't bad, you know. So that's an example of a privacy guy. So what is your name? More of a free text where you can type in instead of just one line, kind of a paragraph or as much as you want to, as much as a survey designer wants to allow. And then this third type is where there's an imposed ranking. You've seen questions like this. What are your three favorite TV shows? And you give your best second choice and third choice, where you have to rank them. You don't just type them in at random. But you type in whatever you want. And this thing that I put here in red, text box, I just put that up. You may recognize that from other websites you've seen. Or have you guys, some of you or all of you, taken the introductory programming class here?
No. It wasn't required for my major.
No, it wasn't required, but have you taken it? How many have taken it? Programming?
Yeah,
where you learn. You remember how when you build your user interface, you can bring widgets and drag them into the user interface. You can put in a text box and radio buttons and all that stuff. Okay, well, this is an example. Each one of these things is an example of a text box as a user interface element. And if you think now when you browse the web and when you're using programs, you'll see text boxes all over the place. And so those kind of little elements that can be used in user interfaces, people call them widgets. WIDGET. I don't know where that name came from, but it stuck. Anyhow, so all three of these involve text boxes as widgets. All right. Now, those are open-ended questions. But you can also ask limited response questions. And here's the kind of thing that you have available to you. One is multiple choice questions, but where you can only choose one answer. So in this case, it says, which of these shows do you like best? And it gives you three choices, and you have to pick one. You can't pick more than one. And then what's the second option with multiple choice? Is you pick all that apply. So here it says, which TV shows do you regularly watch? And if you watch them all three regularly, you can check all three, or two, or one, or none. So two slight variations on questions with limited responses. And the way you can generally tell them apart, certainly in SurveyMonkey and pretty much everywhere on the web, is by the widget. You'll have these radio buttons if there's only one choice. And I don't know, it's hard to see maybe where you are, but these are round things to click in, right? And for the multiple choice, you have check boxes. These are square, and you can click in as many as you want, and little checks will appear. But with the radio buttons, if you click in one and then click in another one, the first one disappears. You can only have one at a time. You guys have run into that, haven't you?
Yes.
Yeah. And you saw how, if you did take the programming class, you saw how to create those things, how easy it is. And why do they call them radio buttons?
Like on a radio, maybe?
Yeah, it's like in your car radio. You push one station, and you can only hear one station at a time, right? Okay, you got it. And then here's a kind of a variation on this theme, which is this idea of a five-level, or you can have a three-level Likert scale. Likert was a statistician and survey researcher, and they kind of made up this form of question. Kind of, I don't know if he really invented it, but people credited him with it. And the idea is that you make a statement like CIS 275 is an easy class, and then you give five things from I strongly disagree to I strongly agree, with about average in the middle, and disagree and agree. So you have kind of five possibilities as to how you react to that statement. And there was one of those on the survey y'all did. It was something like, I think I'm better than the average person. You know, my internet and computer skills are greater than average for students. Remember that one? And you can either agree or disagree. Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. So those are the kind of the palette, the tools. When you're making up your survey and you think, okay, I'm going to have to come up with, you know, questions eventually, and they're going to have to be kind of one of these six type of questions. Each question will have to be one framed in one of those six ways. And this is just another little pitch. This idea of a Likert scale, it's really flexible. So you can say, how important is something? And the responses could go from not at all important to very, you know, extremely important. So that format can be used in many ways. Okay. That's not good. Equipment repair. Now, what's happening right now? If I'm recording this and I put it on a server for you guys, do you want to listen to this part? You don't want to listen to this part, right? So what do I have to know? I have to know enough about audio processing to edit this out. I don't have to be a great sound engineer, but this part I probably want to get rid of, right? And it's really easy. Just go cut, and it's gone. Okay, hopefully back online. So those are the tools. Every question you make in your survey, it'll, you know, think ahead. You got to sort of phrase it as one of those six kinds of questions. Now, here's what you need to do. Plan ahead before you begin. Like I said, it takes a lot longer, and the results are much more dependent upon figuring out, you know, really what you want to do than the mechanics that we talked about. And really ask the, you know, take this as a checklist if you want, when you get to the point where you're, when you have to invent your own survey as opposed to just implement mine. You know, what's the purpose of the survey? Think about, you know, what do you hope to learn? You know, I'm going to put this out. What am I trying to get out of it? What is the point? Do I have some expectations so I'll know if I'm going to be surprised or not? You know, if I'm asking about something, do I sort of have a predisposition to think, oh, yeah, I know the kinds of things that people are going to say? Or am I kind of open audience? This is really important. Who's the audience? Who's going to be willing to take the time to complete the survey? And the way we'll, you know, I'll grade these, you know, you got to do a survey. But we'll also put some extra, make a contest out of it. Whoever gets the most responses to their survey will get some extra credit. Maybe the top three people or something. So we'll make a contest out of a little bit. So try to come up with an idea that you care about, but also where you think that other people would care enough to fill it out, and also where, you know, you have some idea how to reach those people. Say it's going to be students in this university. How are you going to get the word out to them then that the survey exists? So be thinking about that. Who's going to be interested in the results? Are you personally curious? And here's, maybe that should have been at the start. Well, what's the general topic area? And look what I say here. Reject your first idea. In fact, reject your second idea and your third idea. Right now, if I say, what are you going to do a survey about? What goes off in your head? And maybe you haven't taken the question seriously yet. But I say, okay, you know, on such and such a due date, you have to have it done. Right away you start, oh, damn, an assignment I have to complete. And you get a little nervous, right? I'm not sure. It's kind of open-ended. I don't know what I'll do. The first thing that pops into your head, you're going to tend to glom onto that because it makes the nervousness go away. You know what you're going to do. Okay, I got an answer. Now I'll just go do it. All right, don't, whatever first idea pops into your head, you know, write it down and remember it, and then put it aside and come up with more. Come up with three or four or five ideas. Force yourself to be a little bit uncomfortable, and because the first thing that pops in your idea, I've seen it in myself too much. It may not be very good, but hey, it kind of solves my anxiety. It solves my problem. Don't fall into that trap. If you want to do something cool, and this doesn't apply to surveys, anything. If I see you write a term paper on a topic or do anything, or if your boss at work asks you, where should we advertise? You know, the first thing you do, oh, pick that and be done. No. Put the idea aside. Generate more ideas than just that first one. And this is a little bumper sticker. I don't know where the saying is, but the best way to go fast is to go slowly. Don't try to rush into things, but give yourself enough time and do things in a peaceful way. So plan before you begin. And finally, a few design tips. These are pretty self-explanatory, I think. The questions, you know, when you pick, okay, I want to get at this question, now I'm going to do what's going to be, okay, it's going to be a multiple choice question with, do I want it to be multiple choice with one answer, multiple choice with as many as apply. And then you have to word it really carefully to be sure that it's not ambiguous. Once you've got your survey kind of written out, just set it aside and don't pay attention to it. Give yourself plenty of time. Come back to it the next day or the next week if you can and reread it. You will find that things don't make sense. There'll be questions that you're not even sure what you were quite getting at. Another tip I give you is when you reread a survey or when you reread a written document that you do, if you have time to set it aside, do it. And when you do the rereading, read it out loud. You'll be surprised. You'll catch things that sound awkward and funky just because you're hearing them instead of reading them with your eyeballs. Like everything I read, everything I write, I try to give myself plenty of time, write it in advance, set it aside, forget about it, and come back a few days later when I'm fresh and you see the glaring mistakes. Trust me, it works. This is really important. Give somebody, no matter how much you try, you know kind of what you're trying to write. But if you set it aside and then you give it to him, he's going to say, hey, this doesn't make any sense, or what's that all about, or, you know? So work with somebody. Get them to give you feedback. Work in both open-ended and limited response questions. Set a closing date responses and analyze it at that time. So these would be just kind of general tips for making the survey, but also for writing anything, anything that you write. I would suggest doing that stuff. That's it. Yeah. I'm not sure what you mean by open. Now that's a good question. Can you open, I said at the end there, when the survey's finished, have a closing date and close it, right? And the question he's asking is, well, if I've closed it, can I reopen it? And is that that's not a question about, okay, with this particular program, Survey Gizmo, once you close the survey, I believe it stays closed. You can't reopen it. But is that a property of all surveys? Could Survey Gizmo Incorporated, if you made a suggestion to them, revise the program to have another little button that says reopen the survey? Uh-huh. Sure, they could change the program, right? So it's not that all surveys have to be closed and can never be reopened. It's just, has that company whose program you're using, whose service you're using, have they decided to implement that feature? And in this case, I think the answer is no. So what you can do in that case is just say, okay, I'm not going to officially close it, which you can do. Just leave it open, but you set a date in your mind and you look at the results at that date and leave it open. But the more general thing is the company implementing the service can do it any way they want. And they can make changes as they get feedback and demand from their users. Is SurveyGizmo the only company that offers survey service on the internet? No, there's tons of others, right? Up until last semester, I used to use one called SurveyMonkey. Why did I change to SurveyGizmo? Because they give you more stuff in the free version. The way a lot of these companies work, their business model is this idea you'll hear people call freemium business model. They give you some stuff for free, and then if you want more capability, you pay a premium price, right? So with SurveyGizmo, I think you can have 250 responses to a survey for free, and if you get more than that, you have to pay. I think maybe it's 250 in a given month. With SurveyMonkey, it was limited to 100. So I figure, oh, I'll switch to SurveyGizmo. Yeah?
Can the people that do the survey see the results?
Again, can the people that do the survey see the results? Is there one answer to that question? No. It depends upon the company or the people that provide the service. They can either allow that as a feature or not allow it as a feature. Or they can let the person who created the survey make that decision. Yes, let people see these results. No, I don't want the people to see the results. So those are all questions that don't pertain just to plain old to surveys in general, to what's possible, but a given company can include whatever features they want or not include. And that's a really, I guess that's the case with any software, right? Does the word processor have a spelling checker in it? If they built it, and if not, no. Make sense? Cool. All right, so you guys sort of ready to go on surveys? This is what happened. I was going to ask you to do the mechanics thing my next week. But I put it off for 1 week following because we didn't get a chance to go over the mechanics in the evening class. We ran out of time. And I'm not even sure. Truth is, I think you can figure it out without my going over the mechanics. And the presentation's there. You can look at it yourself. But just out of deference to that, I said, okay, it won't be due next week. It'll be due the week following. But for sure, that doesn't mean you wait until, you know, Monday night the week following to rush and do it, right? If you try to do that assignment, you know, now, as if it were due next Tuesday, and you run into trouble, you have plenty of time to get some help. And plus, there's going to be other stuff due 2 weeks from now. So even though it's not due till 2 weeks from now, you should get going on it right away.